Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Guys, we're back.
Hello.
Hey.
It's been 4 months.
Damn.
Since we committed to solidarity along with the Screen Actors Guild in picketing the AMPTP, who represents the studios, and they have defeated the monster that is the AMPTP. They have the nine-headed dragon.
David has beaten Goliath.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And the heads are like Ted Sarandos and Bob Iger and David Zaslav. We're using your movie as a tax write-off. They sliced it off. They got a good deal. They got a better deal than the WGA even. Mm. And way better than the DGA, who didn't even pick it. They were just like bootlickers. They were like, they Oliver Twisted.
Mm. Please, sir, give us more. Or
give
don't.
Us
it's
more,
fine.
Please.
More?
I just yell action. It's fine. It's enough money for
give
that.
Us more.
But anyway, I'm obviously a little giddy. Oh, my giddy aunt, because we get to return to our coverage of Lost, which is what you're about to hear.
Lost.
Now, to put a damper on your excitement just a little bit, Madison is not on this episode.
I know.
We recorded this over 4 months ago.
Yep.
At the time, I believe she was out gallivanting.
I was out gallivanting.
As she does.
In the mountains of Denver, Colorado.
is that when this one was?
Yes. That's why I was not present.
So it's just Steve and I, but we are, you'll hear our thoughts on episode 6 and next week, episode 7, that were recorded 4 months ago before the strike on July 14th.
Yes.
We don't even remember what we said.
Yeah.
It could be wild. I'm trying to hype it up. Who knows?
Who knows what we said
4 months ago? I don't even think I was Kit yet. Was I?
I think it was around the time that Kit was birthed, I think.
Wah. Because
this was before the Kit Laser failed to comment or declined to comment meme started.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we've got some new merch in the store coming soon now that the strike is over. So there'll be a Lost shirt.
Yeah.
There will be a Laser declined to comment shirt.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
And then we've got some holiday merch coming up soon.
Yeah, there's some holiday merch coming up. There's a couple of different merch ideas that aren't 100% solidified yet. But yeah, we're going to be revamping the store soon. If you guys specifically want to get on board and hit our Lost merch up, do that right away. Because if you go to our merch store right now, we're doing a pre-sale on our Lost shirt. And all pre-sales completed before the 15th of November, I have been told by our merch people, if you pre-order before then, that can be shipped out to you by Friday the 17th.
Wow. So fast.
Yeah. So
damn.
If
that's
you
Amazon
want your shirt.
Prime fast.
Oh, yeah. Support local businesses, though. That's what we do on our store.
Yes. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you love the Lost shirt looks awesome, by the way. Hopefully I have an image of it right now that you can look up. If you're watching us on video, you can see what the shirt will look like right now. It looks great. Love it.
Yeah, because we thought as soon as the strike was over, we're like, okay, we're bringing the show back. How can we monetize this? And
a little behind the scenes of the curtain, we actually had this shirt drawn up and we were about to release it. And then the strike happened and we thought it would be
gross. Awful
and gross to like put out a shirt and try to like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is why we did the striking thing shirt that went towards the strike itself.
Yeah. And I hope you guys are still interested. I mean, I've gotten thousands of comments and messages just in the last couple of days, but over the months, tons about is the loss coverage coming back, right?
Yeah.
So I hope that means that the interest is still high for us to continue doing that because we're early in season one.
Very.
So to do the other 15 episodes to a small audience would hurt. It would hurt.
Yeah.
But I think people are really into that. But we're going to finish it regardless. We committed, no matter what happens, to finishing at least season one. Mm-hmm. If there's a huge demand for us to go through the rest of the seasons, we'll have to take a hard look at that and do it. Mm-hmm. But look forward to just that and the Patreon demanded movies each week for the rest of the year. Because certain tiers of patrons have the ability to demand that we watch movies. So we're going to be doing a Lost episode and whatever movie that is each week. The week that you're hearing this is Gattaca. Mm-hmm. And then next week is Small Soldiers. It's stuff like that. The movies can be all over the place.
Yeah,
and we've got those booked out.
No theme. No theme at all.
It's just whatever the movie they tell us to watch.
Yeah.
But we've got other content coming soon. It's just this is the plan for the rest of the year. Our biggest fandoms are, if you recall, The Last of Us, House of the Dragon, and Stranger of course, Things. Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. House of the Dragon will probably be the first of those of our big audience shows to return. And that'll be next summer. So our plan is, unfortunately, to four of you to kind of journey back into Westeros at some point before that and kind of lead up to House of the Dragon season two. I don't know yet what that looks like. A review on each of the seasons of Game of Thrones, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we have time or enough audience demand to do episode by episode. I would love that, but I'm not a selfish person. I'm actually pretty cool.
Famously, very cool person.
Yeah. And whatever else we would do just depends on how things shake out in the meantime. Mm-hmm. Where our minds are open. Our hearts are open.
Yeah.
Our butts
are open.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Always.
And I want to take this time to really kind of look at you, the audience member, and
metaphorically,
thank you so much for supporting us during the strike. We've talked about it pretty often how like we're not even part of those organizations, but standing firm with the actors and the writers when they were on strike was at a little bit of a cost to us personally. And we thank you guys for sticking around with us. And I want to especially thank the mods on our Discord team, Casey, Enza, Jen. They were instrumental in helping us come up with a lot of content that we created during the strike. Like they put together a lot of the quizzes that we did. A lot of the episode ideas were generated from them and they helped support us the whole time. So I just want to really thank them for helping us out during that time. That really meant a lot to us and it helped us go.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
It well said, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Very well said.
That's all I'll say, I guess. I mean, I'm just, I don't have words, right? Because.
Shocking.
When you think it's rare, it's fucking rare.
Wow. No words from you.
It's just very touching.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you take the content away and all you're left with is the people, but then you find out that everybody's listening because they support the people and we can do goofy shit, like trivia shows on unrelated, like dog trivia, you know?
Yeah.
And not even like trivia where it's smart people who know the answers. Like we just, every question, wrong.
Wrong.
They don't care. They
so
love
bad.
Us.
Yeah.
But the whole point of that to say was you guys are awesome. Thank you for supporting us. The mods in the Discord ran the whole show for the 4 months because Steve and I were scrambling. We were panicking. We were weeping. It was wild. But no more tears. We're back. Enjoy Lost episode 6. Look forward to 7 next week. All of us are going to re-catch up on Lost and just act like nothing ever happened the week after that.
Yeah. Business as usual. That's what are you
right,
talking
baby.
About? We're doing your Beach Please. We're doing your Passenger Princess.
Yes.
We're doing your Mile High Club. You were doing your, or Mile High Moments, excuse me. We're doing.
We're also joining the club.
Yeah. Yeah.
Membership fees apply.
Yeah. So get ready to hop back in the fuselage. Be out of breath with Jack and try to figure out the mystery of how did Kate make those drapes. All right. We're getting back into it.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Without further ado, let's get into it right now. Welcome back. My name is Kit Laser.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of Lost.
Lost.
Getting lost on the island. This time it's episode 6, House of the Rising Sun. You might notice a very upsetting vacuum today. No Madison.
That's where is sad. She?
I don't know.
If you guys,
not here.
If you guys find her, let us know. We haven't been able to get in contact with her. She's on the back of milk cartons. Just kidding. I think she's on vacation.
Yeah, we don't know, though.
No, for sure. She is. She's not actually kidnapped. She has not been human trafficked or anything.
That's true. She's on vacation.
She's on vacation.
Which is a very serious thing we shouldn't talk about. Not vacation, the other thing. But we're going to miss her. She's going to be, Vinny being gone is going to be noticed for sure. But we're going to carry on.
But rest assured that somewhere out there in the world, hey, Vinny's still out there pinching butts.
Yeah, she's, well, I wish Laser was here so I could go pew, pew, pew. When he says his name, I'm Vinny.
She's still doing it in spirit.
That's how she talks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is episode 6, House of the Rising Sun. Things are heating up in the old Lost world. I got to tell you, Steve.
Yeah?
I got to tell you, I had a good time watching the old Lost today.
I was excited for you to watch this episode in particular because the last couple weeks you've been like, man, I want to know more about this Jin. I want to know more about this Sawyer. And this is the Sun and Jin episode, the first of many to come.
We've got I got a couple tidbits in episode 6 and 7. I'm really excited to talk about. So what we do here, I've never seen the show before. Steve has. That's our shtick. So he's keeping it close to the vest, all these answers. And I'm just, everything's unveiling before me, unfurling, if you will.
If you will.
Like a curtain in the wind.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
A curtain sewn. By Kate.
By Kate?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. You got to get your money back on those.
It doesn't flap in the wind very much. So we're going to give our overall thoughts on episode 6. And then we'll do a play-by-play, scene-by-scene recap. And then cap it all off with a few fun games at the end. We'll talk about Beach Please.
Beach Please.
Where Steve's going to talk about like some tidbits and behind-the-scenes info on this particular episode. And then we'll do our Mile High Club moments, our top 3 favorite moments of the episode. Then Passenger Princess, mm-hmm. our favorite performance of the episode, nominated by each of us.
God, and
finally...
Right.
A segment called Lost and Found, where we're kind of keeping track of all of the mysteries as they unfold, mm-hmm. which ones have been answered, which ones are still question marks.
We're keeping the show honest, you know?
That's right.
A lot of people say that Lost doesn't answer all their mysteries, and we're here to find out if that's true.
We'll have a real tally at the end of how many mysteries were unanswered. It's going to be great. So, anywhoozle, let's dive right in. Steve, what did you think of episode 6, House of the Rising Sun?
Ah, the show continues to be great. You know, I really just love... this show in particular is starting to do something that I find fun, where the flashbacks are kind of interlapping a little bit. There's a scene where you kind of saw in a previous episode, Jack's flashback of him arguing with the airline worker.
Yes.
And Jin's in the background. Well, now we get to see what Jin was doing back there and stuff like that. That's a lot of fun. And then, of course, it's opening up the story of those two specific characters that up to this point have been mostly in the background and shrouded in mystery and assumptions and whatnot. And so we get to see a little bit more about their backstory. And it's surprising. Like, that's what I love about the show is you think you have an idea of who these people are. And then through the flashbacks, you find out a little bit more about them and it allows you to see them in a different light.
Yes.
And that's the fun of this show. And I really like this episode.
I agree. I think this one and the next one really took a step up in the writing. Like the first two
to
episodes.
To the streets?
Yeah. Step up to the streets. You know, like the first two episodes had all that bombast. It was like one of the most amazing pilots ever, mm-hmm. Them together as a whole. And then it kind of took a step back and we got into more talking heads and mysteries being unveiled.
It's setting the foundation.
Yes. And now I think there was some really emotional stuff. There's only been like one other instance prior to this where I've been like, wow, you know, blown away from an emotional moment. And we talked about that in episode 3, I think.
What was that?
It was with when Locke showed the dog to Michael.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Let him give it to Walt. Mm-hmm. I think was one of the most like, wow.
Good guy, Locke.
He's a great guy. That guy. He's a damn djinn of the forest, you know, just floating around, sprinkling fairy dust on everybody.
Tell me your wishes.
But I had a blast watching these two episodes. So let's dive right in. It opens up with Sun picking a flower, which is very on purpose because there's a flower. That's a huge part of her backstory. Jen is fishing. Kate and Jack are getting flirty, talking about tattoo. What's your tattoos mean?
This one means self-reliance.
Yeah, this is Mandarin for I can fuck. And it's not. But he won't
impressed.
Tell her.
Impressed.
He won't tell her. And then Charlie comes up. If you two are done verbally copulating, we got to go off for water. Let's go. Right. Mm-hmm. Everybody's kind of on their ass. And it's obvious to everyone else that they're getting very close. Right. That the sexual tension is so thick. Mm-hmm. They could cut it with a butter knife.
Seriously.
Two it's C's in that
dripping
thick.
Dripping off them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I like how this also sets up that Charlie's starting to get a little testy.
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll find out why.
Yeah. He's getting a little low on the stash, but also I think he's lonely.
Yeah.
You know, and his backstory confirms that. But then Jen slams the fish and interrupts Sun from her reverie of eavesdropping on that. So then we get a flashback to Sun. Jen is the waiter at like a party. She seems to be wealthy. She's getting champagne. Then they go off in secret. He kisses her. Oh, they were already dating, but they're dating in secret. Mm-hmm. They're hiding it, the relationship from her father, who seems to be some big, important person who won't approve of his poverty. And she wants to elope.
Yeah.
He does not. Right.
He wants to make a, he wants their relationship to be in the light.
Yeah. He wants it to be legitimate.
In the sun, if you will.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I'll ask your father permission. She's like, don't do that. Yeah, you're not impressive at all.
My dad's a dick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, I can only give you a flower now, but one day I want it to be a diamond because he's serious. And this is, I love this intro because so far what we've seen of these two interact with each other in the few moments they have on the show, it's been pretty like, oh, Jin's a mean misogynist.
Yes.
Possibly abusive dude in this relationship. And then we cut to this and like exact opposite character.
You can
like,
tell these are two different people. How much he loves her.
Yeah.
And I love the juxtaposition of the flower because you know that like she misses that part of her life.
Mm-hmm. And just the slyness of like champagne, madam, and the slips her little note. Like mm-hmm. you sly dog.
Meet me in the gazebo.
Mm, you sly dog.
I'm going downtown. So it cuts back to the present. Jen like stomps on some of her plants as he goes, tackles Michael and begins punching the shit out of him and almost drowning him in the ocean. Everybody's just watching. It's that most of the crew on the island is completely useless. Like they watch that one lady drown, Joanne just drowned. Yeah. They're like, hey, swim better. Oh man.
Somebody go get Jack.
Yeah, where's Jack? Nobody can stop this fight, but Jack. And everybody's just watching. And then we cut to, in the middle of that pummeling, we get the title card, Lost. Damn, are we allowed to use that audio clip?
I don't know. Sorry, that was legit. That's straight from the show. That's in my board.
He swallowed a theremin. We cut back. Saeed tackles Jen, asks for handcuffs from Sawyer, who's picking up Michael. Sawyer happens to have them in his back pocket. Sure, why not?
And he's the village pack rat.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And then they lock Jen up to a piece of fuselage. And then he's like, Saeed's like, what happened? But of course, he just speaks Korean to him. Right. And then he kind of accuses Michael. But we'll get to that in a second. We cut to Jack and the crew. They're going to the watering hole. And he's like, hey, Charlie, I need you to salvage what you can from the wreckage. Look for specifically any medicine, drugs, stuff like that. Charlie's like, drugs?
With a Z?
On it. On it. And he looks like he's starting to withdraw. Yeah. So he sneaks off. Speaking of drugs, I got some. But
you just reminded me of something very important I meant to do today.
Drugs. But while he's about to get a little sniffy sniff, Locke's like, don't move. Your ass is 37 seconds from having 412 bee stingers straight in that anus, boy. And he's like, what?
You're standing on a beehive.
Is that like a euphemism? No.
No.
A literal beehive.
A literal beehive. But, you know, maybe later.
Wink, wink.
We can stand on my back beehive. To that. I mean, I didn't know you knew the nomenclature, but now that I know you're down.
I see your pineapple tattoo. You want to stand on a beehive?
We all, everybody.
By the way, we got an email or an iTunes review or something from a guy who loves the show, loves the Lost coverage, but said, hey, it's really bothering me every time you guys say we all everybody, because that's not what it is. It is. Because there's in episode 7, you see the song and it's like, you all everybody.
Yeah.
It's you all everybody.
Yeah. What did they?
I think they thought it was you are everybody. Was
you
how
are
they,
everybody.
Was how they corrected us.
No, it's you all everybody. Which I actually have the origin of that song, but I think that was next episode's Beach Please.
Yes,
we'll dive into the origin of that song.
Yes, Where were we at? Oh, he's on the Beehive.
We do say we all everybody sometime, but that's more of us like we did a thing together.
Yeah,
the we're three just of us. The around. Song is You All Everybody.
Yeah, I think maybe it, I think that's it.
You all everybody.
It's a banger.
Absolutely.
So he's standing on the Beehive and the whole thing is that he can't move or he's going to break it. So they have to go get something to cover it up. Right. Mm-hmm. We cut back to the fuselage and Jen handcuffed to it and Michael explaining he did nothing wrong. Saeed immediately came
there's
to him.
Got, you got to be there's got to be something. Come Why on, would he man. Attack you? Man?
How'd just, you piss him off? He's so nice looking.
Like he catches the fish. He keeps to himself and now he's beating you up. He had to do something, right?
And Michael thinks Jen is just racist, mm-hmm. right? Where are you from? Tikrit. And he just stares at him. He's like, Iraq. he's like, well, I don't know about there, but here, he don't like me, right? Mm-hmm. Is his implication is because he's yeah. black is why he's jumping on him. So
is it Hurley that says like, hey, we can't leave him cuffed out here. He's going to get crispy in the sun.
Yeah, Hurley says, and I quote, that Chinese dude's going to get pretty crispy if we just leave him here. Because Hurley will not stop calling the Koreans Chinese.
He doesn't know.
That's part of his character. Yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't mean any harm, but yeah. like somebody could correct him. Yeah. Eventually they do.
Well, I don't think anybody really knows, right?
They do
until Michael does.
Yeah, Michael's like, they're Korean, man.
Yeah, well, that's the time where like Michael's like, oh, they're Korean. And then he corrects Hurley him. Like, but what? Up until then, no one actually knows. It's still not right to just say, hey, a Chinese person.
Yes, yes. But he points out we can't just leave him here. And Saeed's like, I'm not uncuffing him until I find out why he was so angry.
Because, Saeed's not above making somebody sweat a little bit.
No,
yeah,
not even a little bit. We cut back to another flashback and it's Jen telling Sun that he did get her father's blessing. And she's like, no way. And the way that he did that is by agreeing to work for him in his mm-hmm. factory for a year and then a year in management training because his father wants him to have enough money to take care of her.
Yeah.
And then he gives her a ring. I can afford this now. It's a real diamond ring, not a flower.
And she's happy.
Sort of. She looks worried too, though. And we get the implication that her father is not a man she wanted him to work for.
Yeah.
And I think we find out later that he's kind of a gangster. He's mm-hmm. kind of a dangerous man.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to the Beehive. They're going to try to cover the hive with a suitcase.
I laugh so hard at this. He's like, we need to seal the hive. And then Chad comes over with this open suitcase. Like, I don't know if that's.
They're still going to fly out better. From under it, right? It's yeah. definitely better than Charlie just freaking out and jumping on it because he is an irrational fear of bees, right? And Locke's like, just calm down. He's like, the fear is irrational. If I could just calm down, it wouldn't be irrational, which is a fair point.
Does the timeline match up where he could have seen 300, the movie 300, and he heard the line, our bees will blot out the sun? And he's just really worried about that conclusion happening.
That's not the line.
Yeah, isn't it? Our arrows.
It's arrows. You thought they threw bees at him?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a 300 parody trailer.
Apparently, yes.
Because in the movie, he says our arrows will blot out the sun.
Then we will fight in the shade.
Yeah, we will fight in the shade. In the parody trailer, he's like, our bees will blot out the sun. And then he goes, then we shall hug in the shade because it was a PG-rated 300 movie.
Oh.
Okay.
And you got it.
And I'm just like
completely
in my head,
Mandela
canon,
affected.
In my head canon, the Persians were sending bees
just throw
out.
Beehives at them. Oh, bees will blot out this. That would be a very effective weapon.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of bees. It reminds me of when Kanye West lost his mind the third time and said that he wanted to build mechanical bees to attack his enemies. You ever seen that clip?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, he's on Joe Rogan's show and he's like,
Joe Rogan, you crazy.
He asked him a question and Kanye's like, I want to build mechanical bees. And Joe's so high, he's just like, what?
It's far wild. Out, man. Yeah.
It's a wild conversation.
How would you fund it?
Yeah. <right. laughs> Would it be like a publicly traded company or buy Alpha Brain? Blue Chew, everybody. Charlie freaks out. He breaks the hive. It's too late. Everybody starts running off. Kate and Jack, of course, the two love interested people. They have to get naked because of the bees.
Have you ever just run from something in fear? You're like, I'm so scared. I got to take off my shirt.
Every time I'm scared, I get nude, right?
Yeah.
When I found out about the SAG strike.
That's why the Cabin in the Woods episodes got delayed, really, is because like he just kept taking off his clothes. I'm like, buddy.
Come on, I'm trying to watch this. Yeah. You're over there swinging.
I can't watch two shows at once.
But while they're disrobing and trying to get the bees off of them, she finds a body. It's multiple bodies laid to rest. They've been there for 40 or 50 years. Finally, the polar bear is mentioned again. Mm-hmm. I was starting to think I had imagined that.
The polar bear.
Yeah. He's like, well, you guys found a polar bear, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we did.
They've also found some black and white marble stones.
Yeah, like some old rocks in one of their pockets.
They're probably playing backgammon.
Yeah, Locke's super psyched about that. And then Charlie and Locke show up. One of the funniest lines I've heard in the show so far, where because he looks at Kate and he's like, "Why, you know,
why is your shirt off?
Why are you just sitting in your bra?" And she's like, "There were bees in my shirt." And he's like, "They look C's to me," which is such a dumb joke. But you know, I'm an idiot.
And I love how he says it, and then immediately Charlie's like, "Yeah, sorry about that."
Which is me.
That's on me.
Just like, "Yeah, sorry." That's how I spend most of my life saying, "Nah, my bad." Then he spills the beans about, "Were these the people before us?" Meaning, because he's in on the French lady conversation.
And Locke doesn't know any about that, because Locke's like, "What? A transmission?
What are you talking about? What do you mean people before us?" And so Charlie covers it up, and he's like, "Oh, I guess there are people before us, because there they are." Mm-hmm. And Locke's like, Adam and Eve.
I'm a Adam and Eve truther now.
Yeah. And we cut to Sun putting aloe vera on Jen, because I think the cuffs are like hurting his wrist, and he's out in the sun. He's got
sensitive skin.
He does. And we get another flashback, and it's him buying her a dog because he's never home. He's been working too much. She looks very unhappy in their new marriage.
What type of dog was that, do you think?
I don't know at all. That's one of the...
it's a wrinkly dog.
Jiggly skin ones, yeah. Maybe like a St. Augustus. It's not a Bernard.
It was... Oh, here's the photo of it. Just tell me what it's called. Okay. 5 adorable and wrinkly dog breeds. This is the dog type. Just tell me what it's called. God damn it. I hate the internet. A Chinese Sharpei.
A Chinese Sharpei.
Yeah.
Hurley would be so pleased to learn that.
He's like, "I got it, dude." It's a Chinese dog.
And they talk about the flower a little bit in that scene too. Cut back to the present.
Yeah. Remember when all you had to get me was a flower?
I remember that, but now I got money and I got to go get more.
My flower belongs to your dad now.
We come back to the present. Locke wants to stay and help Charlie salvage the rest of the plane wreckage that's in the watering hole there. Kate and Jack got to go take the water back. And Jack starts to do the math. He's like, 46 people, 86 gallons, carry them one. That's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of work. I think we should move
minus
here.
Joanna.
We should stop bringing the water to the people. Bring the people to the water. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do. Kate looks like, I don't know about that, right? Mm-hmm. But she doesn't say much.
Yeah.
We'll cut back to Walt giving the stink eye to Jen. They're just kind of looking at each other curiously.
I love Walt's face. Just like, "You beat up my dad.
He fell down."
Mike, they fall down.
He fell down. Michael says, "Don't look at my boy," and walks him away. And then Walt asks about racism, essentially. And he's
how
like,
come he doesn't like us?
No, man, I don't even believe that. Do you think I'm that kind of person? What'd your mother say about me? And more insultingly, Walt replies, "Nothing. We talked about you literally never." And he's like, "Dang, that's offensive. I know a lot of shit about you. I know your birthday."
"When's my birthday?" And he nails it. And then he's
August
like, when's my birthday, Walt? And he's like,
"I'm just a little boy.
Pregnant lady fall down."
Yeah. Why do you keep saying that? It's not an answer to everything.
She didn't fall again. It was one time.
Sun wants to explain to them. She's telling Jen, "Let me go explain to them what's going on." And he's like, "No, your place is by my side. I'm not going to say anything to that thief." That's all we get of the situation so far. We get another flashback. Jen comes home in a rush, covered in blood. She runs into the bathroom. "What did you do for my father?" And then slaps him because he won't tell her. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "I do whatever your father tells me." So now we know.
I do it for us.
He's potentially killed somebody for his father, or beat him up, or hit a body. Something real super shady is going on.
Something nefarious. Yeah, for sure.
Yep. 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 Back to the present. Jack and Kate are hiking back with the water. They do some more flirtation. She stops to tie her shoe. She's like, "You looking at my ass?
You looking at my butt?
You trying to?
You checking me out?
You thinking about clapping?" And he's like, "No. What is clapping?"
She becomes that dude from Night at the Roxbury that's like, "Did you just grab my ass?"
Yeah. He's like, "No." And he really disappoints her because she's hinting, right? She's trying to get down like that night. And she's like, "Okay. So what were you thinking about? Clapping?" And he was like, "All right, I was thinking about if we built a dam, we could." And she's like, "Oh my God, what a nerd."
I mean, if you ever want to ruin a mood with a potential partner when they're like, "Hey, I'm looking to get frisky," the way you kill that mood in its tracks, infrastructure. Yeah. Talking about infrastructure.
Precisely. Really disappointing response. And she's not giving her opinion on moving to the caves yet.
Because Jack's kind of, he is of the mind that, "Hey, we've been here 8 days. rescue ain't coming. We might as well be practical and think about survival. So he wants everyone to move from the beach to the cave where the water is. Whereas Kay and what we find out, like Saeed and other people, aren't ready to give up on being rescued yet. And their best chance of finding a rescue boat is to signal somebody from the beach.
Yeah, they want to be there if somebody rides by, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
But nobody's coming.
What team would you be on, Chris?
I get it. I'm not sure. I'd probably be, me personally, with my skin tone, I'd be all up for getting off the beach.
The moment I hear there's a cave, I'm in it.
Yes. We got a cave full of water and a bunch of pills, baby. Oh, where at? Let's go right now.
Let's go. Cash me outside.
That's right. We cut back to Charlie and Locke. They're going to the loo. He wants to go to the loo. The figurative loo. Mm-hmm. Do British people say that, like, whenever they got to piss outside, even too? I'm going to go to the loo.
I don't know. I got to go to the WC.
I'm going to the loo. Bloody hell.
Is that like an insult towards like King Louis or something?
I don't know. Mm. We could Google that later. And then he talks. He's like, hey, I recognize you from Drive Shaft. And he's like, oh, my God. And he gets so excited. He's not angry anymore at all that Locke seems to be like not letting him go off by himself. He wants to talk about it. Right. And he's like, where's your guitar? And he's like, well, they made me check into the baggage. He said there wasn't enough room in the cabin, the fascist, which is fucking great. And Locke's like, no, you'll see your guitar again. I have a feeling, right? Because he's already seen where the guitar is.
I love that Locke is down with Drive Shaft.
For sure. He's like, oh, your first album, your self-titled, way better than Oil Change.
Yeah, he's like, I may be over 40, but I have ears and a heart.
Yeah, right? I'm not deaf. I have ears and a heart. That shit hit me hard.
So I just Googled, despite being a very British word for toilet, loo is actually derived from the French phrase garde-loo, which means watch out for water.
Enza just vomited.
I know.
Somewhere in the world.
Like, yeah, the French. Do we have any French listeners?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Not now. It's Enza that feels that way, guys.
It's not us. Yeah. The views expressed by Enza are not reflective of streaming things.
I've never met a Frenchman. I like their cinema. We cut to Saeed. He's chopping wood. And he explains Jen and that whole situation to Jack and Kate as they walk up. And then they tell Saeed about the new camp plan, how to go into the caves. And Saeed's like, I don't want to do that. Who fucking nominated you? Mayor of We're All Gonna Die Town. And Jack's like, you guys did. You come to me with every goddamn problem under the sun. I'm going to move to the caves. That's what I think's best.
I didn't see you go after Joanna.
Exactly. I was busy. I was making three antennas, dude. I've been telling you this. It's really, really, intrusive work.
Do you know how many laptops and cell phones I've destroyed?
A bunch of them had so bars. Many.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize until after I took them apart.
I had to destroy several dildos to get the electrical components out of those things. All right. Yes,
all from Kate's baggage. Bizarre. And somewhere in Hurley's.
What was that? What was the organization? There was, it was like consequential, not consequential. Do you remember from last episode?
No.
With her and Claire?
No.
And that's where the joke came from. She's like, oh, this is inconsequential. She had the
negative. Oh, yeah, the dildos and stuff.
I can't remember exactly what it was.
It was a strap-on, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a whole belt apparatus.
Yeah. It was like a bat belt. Like
designed
a bat belt.
For pegging, which actually comes up here in a minute. It's really funny.
Yeah. I do love how they kind of turn the tables on Saeed in this moment where they like kind of, or Jack, I should say, spits some logic, and Saeed's like, I'm not going to admit defeat. And he like runs off like, I may have lost this argument, but damn it, I know I'm right.
I didn't see where this episode was going, where essentially they each become like political parties running a campaign, and they're going around talking to all of the beach denizens and presenting their, I promise to take you to the caves. You're going to get plenty of water. You're not going to get sunburnt. I got pills, baby.
Come with me to the cave and a nook for every survivor. A chicken in every pot. Or a boar, because that's what Locke's getting us.
And then Saeed's like, we're going to stay on the beach. A boat's going to drive by any minute. I'm going to get rescued.
I got one word for you. Triangulate.
and another word.
Don't hate, triangulate. Don't hate, triangulate. That's his campaign slogan.
And signal fire.
Are these merch ideas for Lost? We just have like campaign, like Team Saeed and Team Jack.
That's two words, I think.
A boar in every pot and don't hate triangulating.
I follow the boar. That's what Hurley says. And then Saeed comes to apologize to Michael after this conversation, but really he wants to campaign to him. He's like, look, do I have your vote if I say stay on the beach?
Don't hate triangulate.
And he's like, absolutely you do.
Beach, please. Beach, please.
I'm not trying to stay here forever. I'm trying to get rescued. While Jack is in the background, like campaigning for the caves against people we've never met. Hurley is like, what's up with you and Kate? As soon as he sees Jack, right? And he's like, what are you talking about, man? He's like, oh, I know what's going on. And then Sawyer goes up to Kate and he wants to know what her vote's going
to
be.
Well, 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 if it isn't the belle of the ball, Freckles.
Are you trying to go to the caves or are you trying to stay on the beach? Because I'm trying to stay wherever you're at. It's essentially the vibe I'm getting, right, Steve?
Yeah, 100%.
That's why he votes for beach, because that's where she is.
I think he's smitten with Kate.
He is, but he does not have to show his feelings.
No, he's got that toxic masculinity thing holding him back. One important point is Jack does offer Jen some water. At this point, which I thought was sweet.
Well, Jack doesn't care. Yeah, he wants everybody to have water.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I think that's like a good character moment of like, hey, man, sure. Here's water. Drink slowly.
And Jen be drinking it. He's thirsty. Mm-hmm. He's a thirsty boy.
Like, that's the first olive branch that I think Jen specifically has been given from anybody else.
Oh, that he received without being like, yeah, that's true.
Like, everything else has either been like some sort of barter or some sort of like, hey, will you please have this urchin I caught?
Right.
And they've been like, oh, dude, that looks like ass.
Yeah.
Coming out of an ass. No, thank you.
Well, fine. It's a delicacy where I come from. Mm-hmm. Son is watching Jen, and then Michael walks by in the background. We cut to Michael chopping wood, and Son approaches him from the trees. We get a quick flashback of somebody there to redecorate, which is just ostentation. For Jen to not be suspicious. Really?
Don't be suspicious.
Some kind of like black market, like smuggler who's gotten her like a fake passport and a whole plan.
Have you been taking your lessons?
She has to run from her husband and father. And that's her plan. She wants to get away from both of them. So we can assume that they're very dangerous. And she's supposed to, at the airport, leave at 11:15 and get in the car and disappear. Mm-hmm. Right? Cut back to.
But you'll take care of my dog, right?
That's all that's important. Mm-hmm. Which we appreciate that after watching Yellow Jackets.
Right.
Make sure the dogs are cared for.
What happened to Steve?
We don't know. She speaks English, we find out, which we assumed.
Dun, dun, dun.
You knew. But everybody, me and Madison, assume she speaks English.
She speaks English?
Yeah, I spoke English.
I speak English.
Real good. What does that remind me of? Was that Dead Reckoning? Where somebody's like, No, it wasn't that. I don't know what I was watching, but it was a part because he's like, oh, I didn't know you speak English good. And the person who does was like, I speak English well.
Oh, that is from a thing. Yeah.
What the fuck were we just watching where that happened?
I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about. That is hitting a nostalgia.
I think it was Warrior. I love that show, Warrior. I think it's Warrior. But anyway, he says, you know, Jen doesn't know that she speaks English is what she says. And he's like, how did you learn a whole language without her husband knowing? Which is bizarre. Like, so what I'm supposed to understand at this point, Steve, Jen does not speak English. Son does. And he doesn't know Son does. Is that correct?
As far as this show has come towards, yes, it is.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. But
because she's scared of the situation that, so she finds out that her husband is possibly murdering someone or murdering people for her father, mm-hmm. a person she already was untrustworthy from. And that's created friction in her marriage. And she feels like the only way to leave Jin and possibly this dangerous situation, because she thinks Jin's murdering people.
So she was going to go to America?
Is to go to America. Yeah. Because the person she talks to.
Oh, the lessons. Those were the lessons.
Yeah. Were you taking your lessons? You know, those are her English.
She learned English fast.
Yeah.
She's smart.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
But she tells Michael it was the watch that made him so angry. That's her father's watch that Michael's wearing. And it's a point of honor that he had to try to like kill him and get it back.
Mm-hmm. And she needs Michael's help to kind of smooth things over.
Yeah, you got to give him the watch. Yeah, I know it's an expensive watch, but hey, we're all going to die here. You're not going to be able to sell it anyway.
This episode was brought to you by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, you know what's good for you, but your brain gets in the way and you just can't quite pull it off. Like when you're trying to fall asleep at night, you know, you got to get up at 7 a.m. You got to work. You want to go to the gym before work. But at 3 a.m., you're just thinking about hippopotamuses, hippopotami. I don't know how to pluralize it. It doesn't matter. You get the idea. So sometimes your brain's getting in its own way. You know what you should do, what's good for you, but you just can't do it. Therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. You can help find the blocks in your life that are getting in your way, and BetterHelp can get you there. It can match you up with a licensed therapist to help meet your needs. If you don't like your therapist, you can switch free of charge at any time. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Gobble, gobble, stream fiends. It is the month of November, and thus comes Thanksgiving if you celebrate it here in the States. But it's a month where we want to take a step back and just really appreciate and be thankful for everything that we have here at Streaming Things. One of the many things that we are thankful for are our patrons at all tiers, but especially our super patrons, which we shout out each and every month here on the podcast. Let's get to it. We are thankful for you, Sydney B, Becky the Farmer, Kaylee Sampson, Stanton Valentino, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Brent Stradamus, it's a great name, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jace Gramo, AK, Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big But Horny got an upgrade, Conrad, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Emmy, Jovalez, Valerie, John Collins, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Love Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. And with that, let's get back to the show. Gobble, gobble.
We cut to Locke. He confronts Charlie about the drugs, right? Which is, you got the vibe. That's why he wanted to be alone with Charlie the whole time. And he says, hey, you got to give it up, man. Give me the drugs. Maybe you can get your guitar. If the island will give it to you, but you have to give the island something. So he gives the heroin to Locke and points his look up. He's like, oh man, I'm not into that Jesus stuff or whatever, right? Even though we find out he is. And he's like, no, look up. And the guitar is sitting there on the cliff and he cries with happiness. Mm. It's a great moment.
It's his guitar. It was so sweet.
And you can tell what's so cool about this writing is that Locke saw that hours earlier.
Yeah.
And then formulated this whole plan about how to get him to give him the drugs, you know, finding out how important the guitar was to him, all that stuff. It's very cool, I think.
And I also love Locke is saying like, hey, if you give me the drugs, because then at least it will be your choice. Like he's not going to take these drugs from Charlie, but he's like, hey, I want you to choose to give them up.
It's all about choice.
Mm-hmm. It's all about choice.
We cut to Kate, who doesn't want to be Eve and she doesn't want to go to the caves. She doesn't really clarify that.
And it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Kate.
Exactly. And then Jack asks her again what crime she committed. What did she do? And she's like, you had your chance to have that info, you and the audience, and you fucked it up for both of you.
We haven't written that yet. We don't really quite know yet.
It's very frustrating as an audience member. We cut to Michael, who confronts Jen with an axe. He's like, hey, I don't want your fucking watch. Don't fuck with me. Don't talk to me or my kid ever again. And then acts like he's going to kill him, but he really frees him by slamming the axe on the fuselage.
and breaks the chain of the handcuff.
Give him the watch.
Can you imagine how terrifying this interaction is from Jin's perspective?
Doesn't understand a word he's saying.
Doesn't know what he's saying. This guy with an axe just shows up and just starts screaming at you.
And you had beat their ass. Yeah. Terrible. Not good.
Yeah. Why let a $20,000 watch go to waste?
Yeah. My watch broke. I thought, hell, then I don't even know why I did that. Because what does time matter? You know, he's losing a little bit.
Island.
He's very frustrated. I got to talk to this kid. I don't even know. Now I'm his dad.
Before we did the rewatch, I remember Michael as a character throughout the show, right? But I don't remember like him being this enjoyable. Like, I love Michael on the show.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. He's so good.
He's kind of an audience surrogate because he's really practical and like, wait, what kind of guy?
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch. But we get another flashback. This time it's Jin and Sun. They're standing behind Jack, like you said, in this flashback.
Yeah, this is fun.
Other POV. And it's 11:15 and she can't do it. She can't bring herself to leave Jin.
Yeah, she kind of walks away because she sees the car outside the door ready to pick her up. She's thinking about doing it. And right before she makes her choice, she looks back at Jin one last time. What's a sly dog do?
Mm.
Pulls out a flower.
He's like, I know you're going to leave me. Check this out.
He pulls out a flower and gives her a smile. And I might be looking too much into this because I don't quite remember why they're in
Australia.
I don't know why they're in Australia and where and why they're going to
Singapore, which might be a layover.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they're there on this trip, but I just got this feeling that Jin's like, hey, it's just us. Like, this is our vacation away from your dad. And like, maybe even he is kind of like, I'm excited to like be myself. And that may be me looking too much into it, but just the way he pulls out that flower and winks at her, it's like, I get why anybody would be into you. My God, look at those cheekbones.
It was very charming. And you can just see her break and she's already crying. And he's like, what's your problem? Tone deaf.
He like puts his arm around her and he's like, hey, what's wrong? Are you okay? And she's like, the flower's just too beautiful.
Such a good flower. And he's like, cool.
She nailed it. I just got this at the gift shop.
Hoo-wee. Dope. God, I knew women are simple, man. People act like it's complicated. Like, that's Jin's mindset. It's a very heartwarming scene. And I have a lot to say at the end of this because we're almost there. But we cut to Charlie. He's playing guitar. He's happy, right? People show up to the cave. Hurley's covered in sweat. He said it wasn't a long hike.
Short walk. They lied.
My ass. And then Sawyer stayed on the island, chose to be with Kate. And then Walt asks his dad, I have a question for you. When's your birthday? Which is really cool. And then, are you sure this is where you want to be? Is the song playing, which is, we get this montage of everybody in the cave and on the beach. They're split up now. And nobody's really sure if that's where they want to be. Mm-hmm. That's the end of the episode, right?
Yeah, but nice crosses all between Jack and Kate staring off.
Yeah.
Into the middle distance with a fire on their face.
What did you call it?
A cross dissolve.
Cross dissolve. Yeah. I wonder how they did that. Because like De Palma and Coppola specifically would do that a lot. I don't know how you do that editing film. Like, you'd have to literally put the images over each other, right? Like the frames.
Yeah.
Because Coppola did one. I was watching somebody share it on Twitter the other day, a clip in The Godfather, where it dissolved from Vito Corleone's mustache into like a vista in Sicily. And his mustache became the leaves of the tree. It was fucking hilarious that Coppola decided to do that. Like, it's seamlessly done. But like, I feel like they used to do that a lot back in the day, more than they do now.
So according to an answer given to us on Quora, the question is, how did movies do a crossfade with real film? Dissolves or crossfades were done with a special machine called an optic printer. It was actually an amazingly convoluted process. The editor would trim the two shots to be dissolved, the outgoing and incoming shots, and then send them to the lab. An optical printer is kind of a combination of both a projector and a camera, so each shot will be projected onto the new unexposed film instead of making an exact copy. However, the outgoing film would be made with the brightness of the projector bulb being gradually turned down with each frame. This could either be done manually, frame by frame, or with an automated control.
So they would record the image, essentially,
and
control the light to make it dissolve.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are wild.
I love finding stuff out about, because things are so easy to do now in the digital world.
Yeah.
It's just incredible to find out how people did shit in film back in the day, because it's usually like just the most tedious process. Right?
Yeah. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. I was curious about that. But I think, you know, Locke's backstory was powerful and very intriguing. Oh, he can walk now. What the fuck's going on with this island? But I think Jin and Sun might be the best backstory we've gotten so far. Mm-hmm. The most fascinating. Like, it's like a beautiful short film in and of itself. And you're right. It adds so much depth to Jen's character specifically. It's like, oh, he's probably killed people. He's got a dark past, but he does. It's a tragedy, you know, to me. It's like he does truly love her. And the only way he could, in his mind, give her the life she deserves to have is to work with her dad.
And sell his soul to the devil.
Exactly. But then through doing that, he doesn't get to hang out with her or be himself anyway. Mm-hmm. God, it was powerful to me. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was really cool.
I agree. Yeah. It's there's a reason why people love these characters.
I would have watched an entire 90-minute movie about them. I really would have, you know?
Yeah,
sounds same. Like a beautiful South Korean film.
Did you know, fun fact, that the guy who plays Jin, Daniel Dae Kim, did you ever play Saints Row? The video game, Saints Row?
That was a PlayStation game, right?
I think it was on everything. Hmm. It was just like a Grand Theft Auto clone, but it's a little more silly.
I can picture the box.
It's very purple.
I know my friend had it, you know, Andy or Nathan or somebody, but. Mm-hmm.
Well, Daniel Dae Kim voices the main character in all of the Saints Row games.
Interesting.
Named Johnny Gat.
Johnny Gat.
Yeah. I just thought that was kind of funny.
It is an interesting acting credit. Mm-hmm. But now it's time for Beach Please.
Beach Please. Guys, this is a segment where I scour the internet and sometimes director's commentaries to find little nuggets of trivial pursuits that you can have with each individual episode. And I did find all of the director's commentaries, but they only have director's commentaries for maybe 5 or 6 episodes of each season. Believe it or not.
I didn't know this.
So they don't have a director's commentary for this episode, but I did find some stuff online. Did you know, Chris, that male drone bees were used in the bee scene because male drone bees do not have stingers?
Oh, harmless bees.
Mm-hmm. But
Tom Cruise would have used female bees.
He would have been like, I want them to sting me so hard. I've trained for a year so I can be not susceptible to their venom.
Kanye built me thousands of mechanical bees I can use.
Whoa, really? Alpha brain.
Humanely. Blue Chew, I've got a boner right now.
Oh, no. But Dominic Monaghan is actually really into insects and bugs. So in real life, he probably would have loved to have hung out with the bees and not been scared of them like Charlie would be.
Interesting.
The rocks, Chris, the rocks that they used in the waterfall cave set were made of rubber, so that they would not create sound when the actors would walk over them and be picked up on camera.
Rubber rocks.
Rubber rocks, baby. That's right. And Saeed, like you said, is from Tikrit, Iraq. Fun little fact about that that town. That is where Saddam Hussein is born and was later captured by the U.S. Army.
By the Navy SEALs?
The Army.
I don't know. I'm thinking of Osama.
You're thinking of SEAL Team 6, which is Osama bin Laden.
I was. I'm not going to lie to you.
As soon as you said Navy SEALs, I'm like, wrong person.
I don't know what they do. SEAL stuff.
Yeah, and that concludes.
Art.
Ooh, that was a solid SEAL SEAL noise. I'm proud of you. But that concludes this week's edition of Beach Please.
Now it's time for our Mile High Club moments, our top 3 favorite moments of the episode. Steve, lay it on us from 3 to 1. What's your 3?
Number 3 for me, as you, the listener, and you, Chris, know, I love love.
You do love love.
I love love. That's why my number 3 favorite moment goes to Jin actually giving Sun a diamond, which is something he wanted to do. And like, it was very sweet because it is tragic because knowing what happened to these characters, but you can see on his face, he is jazzed. He's like, I got approval. I got a job. I got a ring and I get the girl. Best day ever.
Best day ever.
And Sun's just happy to be, you know, able to be with Jin, but she can tell something's not right. But I love that moment of pure happiness between people who love each other because I love love.
I love love too.
What's your number 3?
In a similar vein, I'm going with Jen being slapped by Sun.
Did the 5 fingers say to the face?
Bam. I just think I didn't expect that moment, you know, covered in the blood. Things got so much more interesting. I thought her dad was just like kind of a dick, you know, not like a gang leader. or some kind of cartel, you know, whatever. And it just, it added so much depth. And I love that he was saddened by it, but he's also like, I'm doing this for us. Like, you know, it sucks that this is the way things are, but also this is the only way we could exist. I just love that tragic element to it so much. Powerful moment. That's my number three. Steve, what's your number two?
My number two is actually the moment at the very end of the episode. It's the flashback where Sun doesn't leave the airport. I really like the scene. Like I said at the top of the episode, I think it's fun that they're intertwining flashbacks together because you can see Jack having his moment with the what was her name? Chrissy?
Chrissy, wake up.
I don't like this. Yeah, he's having his moment with Chrissy about, you know, getting his dead dad on the plane for Dead Dad Island. But just seeing the struggle of like, oh, do I stay or do I go now? You can literally hear the clash start playing. But then
well, there's so many Stranger Things references going on right now.
I know, there's so many. But then just that look back at Jen pulling out the flower, and you're like, oh my gosh, he does still care. He does love her. And I think the decision for her to stay speaks more about the relationship that they truly do have. And maybe their life is getting in the way of letting them experience. And I think that's sweet. And I love love.
Me too, buddy.
I love it.
My number two is when the whole scene between Locke and Charlie, where he shows him the guitar in the clip after he gives him the heroin. Most of you know I'm in recovery from many things, but I was also a heroin addict. I've been sober now over 11 years. This whole plot line that takes place over episode 6 and into the next one is near and dear to my heart for many reasons, obviously. But this is such a great moment for Locke's character, too, because he's such a whimsical bastard. It's like, I just have faith. It's like, mother, you fucking saw that. You know where the guitar is. You're a dick, you know?
You met me today.
I've actually been playing it for 4 days, and I put it back. So I don't want anyone else to, you know.
I saw the drive shaft sticker on the side. I'm like, oh, shit, that's Charlie's. Oops.
Oh, my God. I love that band. That's the only reason he knows what drive shaft is.
Their sophomoric album was not as good as their self.
He's never even heard them. He just saw the sticker. That's my number two. Steve, what's your favorite moment of episode 6?
That's my number one.
The guitar moment?
The guitar moment. Yeah, it's my number one. For everything you just said, I love the term whimsical bastard to describe John Locke. That is perfect to a T. But I just love how Locke is sort of this avatar of, hey, the island is this force that if you... Like if you're a broken person, the island can fix you, and I will be the voice of that thought. And Charlie's sort of his first. I guess I don't know if you would count the thing he did with Michael, but like he's there's kindness in him, and Charlie's sort of this like, hey, I'm going to help you in your journey. I can see you're an artist. And just when Charlie sees his guitar, because it's all he wants, and even with the context of next episode in mind. What that guitar means to him is so important and beautiful. And just like looking at his face when he looks up and sees that his guitar is there, it's almost like you could see the want and desire for his drugs just wash away from him because he's so happy to see the thing he truly loves, which is the music. And it's just a very beautiful moment. And it makes me so happy for Charlie.
Absolutely. My number one is your number two. So we flip-flopped.
Flip-flop.
Yeah. The flower in the airport, like that whole moment where she's deciding whether or not she should get in the car and she's heartbroken about making her decision. Because it's obviously devastating on a number of levels because she's in a toxic relationship. She wants to escape abuse and live a happy life. But also she's seeing him in that moment as the man that she loved, the man that she, because he's being in that moment, the man that he originally was. And she just can't bring herself to do it. And then the icing on the cake is that flower. And they opened the episode with her looking at a flower fondly on the beach. Chef's kiss for on the writing side of things. Big fan. Big fan.
Pay
your fucking writers.
Pay them.
Steve, we almost had a we all everybody. But we had a we flopped everybody.
Yeah, we did. We were definitely oil change in this moment.
That's right. That's right.
Not quite as good as our original but album.
Now it's time for Passenger Princess, our favorite performance of the episode. And I got to say, since Vinny's not here, I'm going to nominate Daniel Day-Kim I think there's a couple good choices in this episode. He does get a chance to exhibit some range because he's got the angry beating the shit out of Michael all the way to the early romance stuff with Sun. And I just, you know, I don't know. I haven't gotten much chance to enjoy a performance from Daniel Day-Kim yet in the show. So I got to give it to him.
That is an excellent choice. Since we have not been all everybody so far this episode, I'm going to keep that rolling. I'm going to nominate Yoon-jin Kim, who plays Sun.
Yes.
Because she's also, I mean, both of them are so good. But she does this great performance of walking this fine line of being so happy to be with this person that she loves, but also being trepidatious about what it means that they have to, they're kind of at the will of her father. And who's obviously a dangerous man. And then the whole reveal of her, like, hey, I actually speak English. Like, sorry. It was like we all saw it coming, but I still like the way she acts. Like she's almost like she knows she can fix a lot of things if she's just out and can talk to everybody.
Right.
But she's so scared of revealing that to Jin, whether that's because she's afraid of him or that she doesn't want to hurt him, you know. Who knows? But I think they both are really, really great in this episode.
Absolutely agree. They crushed it. This was their episode. And this was one of the most dominated by one storyline episodes that we've had so far. Like this was on my mind the whole time. I was like, get back to the flashback, you know, which is not usually the case. But now it's time for Lost and Found. Do we have any new mysteries? Were any mysteries solved? And at the end of this whole Lost coverage thing, we'll find out which ones remained unsolved. Mm-hmm. I don't think any were answered.
Yeah, there weren't any new answered ones.
And we have one new mystery, I think.
Okay, what is the mystery you have?
What are the bodies? Who are those people?
Who were the dead people in the caves?
And then asterisk footnote, what the fuck are those rocks? Which seem to be very important.
Oh, the black and white yes. gems.
Wow. That's the only thing I can think of as far as mysteries here.
Okay. I think that's a good mystery. I had something else, but I don't know if you would consider this a mystery or just a storyline we just haven't been privy to. And that's, you know, what does Sun's dad do?
Sure. We can make that. I don't think it's necessarily one. Like, I think you get everything you need. But it will probably get more. I guess we need to know if Jin's a murderer, you know.
that would change the way you see him a little bit, I think.
Not really, but yeah. hey man, we've all got a past.
Look, we've all killed a person or three.
Kate's like, and you guys were worried about me?
Look, just because I have a mugshot doesn't mean I killed a person.
I'm not good with taxes.
That's all it is. I've been running away from the Fed.
QuickBooks are tough.
It's hard. I didn't know you had to file quarterly.
I was using outdated software. Close to home there. So, yeah, I think we can add the vocation of Sun's father as well. And that's it, baby. That's it. That wraps it up. You know, without Vinny here. We're quick and dirty. We get everything done.
Yeah, we're under an hour still. That's
amazing for
bonkers.
Us. Bonkers. I kind of like this lifestyle. I mean, I prefer Vinny to be here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I'm just saying.
I like this quick and breezy.
I mean, I think you can hear my tummy growling on the microphone. I'm not sure.
Your tum-tum?
I only had 6 grapes today.
And you had them here.
I did. They were delicious, by the way. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For chilling those, purchasing those.
You can always put your grapes in my grapes in your mouth.
Thank you. Thank you. Invitation accepted. I'll be there. But
that was your opportunity to talk to me about infrastructure, by the way.
No, I don't want to cool things down. That's all the time we have right now. My name is Kit Laser.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.